This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Hey, Doc, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Oh, thanks, Gordon. Always nice to be here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that last session with Craig Livingston, but I'm a bit worried about the guy's follow-up, though. You know, I mean, I sent him a clip of my golf swing the other day, and I've not heard from him at all.
Were you hoping for a sign-up?
I just thought, you know, I mean, the guy seemed to
You're on the seniors tour?
Yeah.
He's a talent spotter?
Absolutely. Craig, you're listening to this, but where's the follow-up here, China? Anyway, we're here on a different topic today, one which is very, very close to my heart, which is the Advertising Media Association of South Africa, and we've got with us Parmeshan Mudlia. We're just going to call him Cheese, because if we call him Cheese, everybody in the industry knows who I'm talking about, and if we call him by his proper name, nobody will know who I'm talking about. So Cheese, great to have you here. Thanks for spending some time with us in your capacity as chairman of AMASA.
Thank you so much, Doc and Guru. Yeah, it's great to be with you guys today, and thank you so much for the invite. We really appreciate it from an AMASA standpoint, and let's face it, everything's better with cheese, eh?
Well, I'm going to take your word for it. So let me just kick off by saying, you know, I've had a lifelong association, or an advertising lifelong association with AMASA, so it's very close to my heart. I mean, it began in 1976 with the objective of positioning media within the marketing and communication industry as a profession within itself. Have we been successful in the past 40 odd years in doing that? And if we haven't, you know, what do we need to do? How much progress have we made in terms of becoming a recognized marketing discipline / profession?
It's such a great question to start with, Gordon. I think what's really pertinent and prevalent to us at the moment is just how serious, first of all, AMASA has become as a volunteer organization within the industry and sort of driving and affecting change and highlighting issues around challenges where we have them in the industry. But certainly as an organization, AMASA has become very serious in the last sort of 5 to 7 years as the industry has become serious about what it is that we're trying to achieve, and as the media landscape becomes as complicated as it's ever been. So I really think we have made huge strides in the last couple of years. Certainly in the last 5 years that I've been involved with AMASA, I've just seen the industry really take note of the challenges and the kind of industry insights that AMASA is giving towards to the industry themselves. So I think in that sense, it's definitely shown progress. Are we quite there yet? No, obviously not. As the industry continues to change, so again, do we need to move forward and help drive that change and meet the challenge?
Doc, I mean, you know, you're in a good position to talk to this point because you're on the receiving end of the work that we do. I mean, what's your experience of it? Are we looking better than we were looking 10 years ago? What's missing, or what are we doing well for that matter?
Gordon, I don't know if it's better or worse. I think it's a challenge, and it's a continual challenge. And media is such an important and expensive part of the pie. You know, if I look at the three parts of it, I look at the creative agency side, I look at the media side and the client side. And I think one of the things perhaps that we can all improve on and consistently do is communicate better. You know, open up those channels, understand each other's patch. You know, that media and marketing are not separate. In fact, they're two parts of the same equation. And so for me, I think if I can say anything, it's just to encourage marketers to have even more dialogue with media planners, media strategists, media directors, media companies, and also the creative side, and to bring those three parts closer. I think that would be my take on where we should be going as an industry.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the challenges in that partnership scenario is figure out who makes the money. So when we're talking about the creative message itself, that's clear. When we talk about buying and implementation, that's clear. But, you know, the partnership tends to flounder on the rocks of that bit in the middle where every bit of strategy that I get to write up, you know, is a percent to my company. It tends to be more of a war battleground than a partnership plane. Parmesh, I mean, in the training, we'll come to the master course now because mm-hmm. I know it's imminent and it's really important we address that. Do we have anything by way of teaching people those kind of partnership skills? How do we map out the territory between those disciplines that the doc's talking about?
I think that the where we've made progress is the intention is there. It's unfortunately the understaffed side of the agencies, the pressures that the strategists and the planners face with shrinking budgets from client side. It's all becoming about cost efficiencies as opposed to collaboration and true integrated marketing concepts and campaigns, which is where I think the industry wants to get to. It's about navigating that field of making sure that the cost efficiencies are correct and that the right people from an agency point of view are in their different roles as account directors and managers, and ultimately opening up the collaboration for partnerships with media owners, creative agencies, and obviously clients as well.
Doc, I'm going to throw this back at you. Are you buying cheap? But
no, Gordon, I think, you know, in a tough time, you know, you always want to get the best for your company. And I think it's quite interesting. I was at a breakfast meeting this morning with some people, and one of the topics of discussion, as it turned out, was around understanding fundamentally your role. And we're going to talk about training and media training specifically. In other words, do you really know your role and are you proficient at your role? That's the first part of the equation. The second part of the equation is, do you have a healthy respect for your partner's role? Like anything, any relationship, whether it's a marriage, business relationship, whatever the case is, do you actually understand and are you empathetic towards what that person's going through? Because if not, it gets into an arm wrestle, argy-bargy, and it gets down to rands and cents and tough economic times. Now, part of the discussion this morning, it's no secret, is that the economy is tough and people sometimes act differently when the chips are down as opposed to the heydays and the glory days. And I think the discipline, in my view, needs to be put in place that you firstly have competent people, and we'll talk later on skills training and an understanding of workshops and new media skills. But then coupled with that is to have a healthy dialogue and an appreciation, respect for your partner, understanding that you're working in my view, a three-way relationship, the client, the media, and the creative house. And then, you know, you can get to a situation where if there is something to discuss, at least dialogue it, discuss it. And don't just make a decision that is in your own interest without taking cognizance of perhaps your partner and the knock-on effect.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant observation. I mean, you know, when I came into to media, you know, we were all in one place. It was called an ad agency. So it was very easy for me to understand the creative discipline because I sat in the office next door to the guys. I could actually see it and I had a feel for it. But now you have the creative discipline in a different building, in a different city. I mean, that's the difficulty. So, geez, throwing it back to you. But I mean, we started off with the weekend workshop and we don't need to talk about that because that was the fledgling training ground, and it's morphed into something a lot bigger than that. You're still doing the workshop, which
yes,
I need you
absolutely.
To talk about, and then the course, which is now being housed at Vega. But, you know, how do we build into that training as well this ability that the docs raised for me to understand the creative role? And similarly, how do we teach creative people to understand why it is when you brief me at 5 o'clock for something the following morning, I actually need a little bit of time. I can't do this stuff in half an hour.
I think the doc had it on the head there. It's about a healthy respect and about challenging each other to drive better work in the industry. But also about understanding your role in the system. And I think that's where the media management course from the media practitioner side is the basic foundation that the media side is built on. And like we said, we've moved the media management course to Vega now. The registration at Vega is currently open. The first intake starts on the 2nd of March. So that's when the course kicks off. So between now and then, if there are any individuals out there that are considering making a move into media, this is definitely the starting point. It's the basic fundamentals of media management. And the course has grown as the industry's grown. The textbook, from an Amasa point of view, is still as relevant as it's always been. And the coursework is based on that. And we've been very lucky with some very heavyweight individuals in the industry that have taken this on as a passion point for them to help guide the actual tutorials and help guide the actual lecture notes that are going on in the classroom. So very excited to see that grow. There's also talk of actually trying to get an e-learning platform going as well in the next 2 to 3 years from an Amasa point of view, so that we're cognizant of the fact that this sort of classroom-based learning or lecture hall-based learning to be in Craig Hall by 5 p.m. on a Wednesday is often quite difficult for working individuals. So why not take it online and offer that service where people can do it from whenever, wherever they are. So that's something that's still on the cards and where we're wishing to grow the media management course too. But for now, people can register at vegaschool.co.za.
Great. And then, so that starts in March. And then the weekend workshop, which tends to be more functional, more hands-on. So you get the theory at Vega. The weekend workshop is case study driven, mini MBA type thinking. When is that and where is that being held?
So we're very proud of where the workshop has grown to. And really, it was designed to address the sort of in-career training and development of the youngsters that have come through the industry. They've now arrived here. But in order to keep them updated on the wider view of the industry. So if they've arrived at a media owner, for instance, in a sales capacity, let's tell them about what goes on the media agency side, what goes on the client side, expose them to the industry as a whole instead of kind of confining their thinking to just the current company that they work for. So the Amasa workshop is essentially a three-day crash course in media planning.
Yeah, except you don't get to
strategy.
Crash.
Yeah, you don't get to crash. Yeah, that hasn't
exactly
changed.
Right.
And I think really what's critical there, and I have to pay some kudos to the team at FNB. The media team at FNB have really stepped up and taken a three-year partnership with us to help us deliver the best workshop that we can. And they are the client during that workshop. So you have a live brief from a client's mouth, guiding their thinking, showcasing exactly what the standards are out there. And that's where this concept of integrated marketing concepts has come from, to how do you make sure that every medium and platform has its place in a media strategy, and how do you bring about the best of those different mediums that you then select, and obviously paying careful consideration to actual media strategy. So this year we've moved it a little bit later. It's happening from the 2nd to the 5th of April at Riverstone Lodge in Mulder's Drift. We've been at the venue now for our fifth year. So that the guys out there at the venue and the accommodation really also make everyone feel as comfortable as they can. But it is an intense weekend. And another thank you that I'd like to make is to the panelists that attend this and actually give off their time. We've managed to get really senior heavyweight people on these different panels. And where that's a fundamental change in the workshop format, instead of lecture-based, it's become panel-based. So there's a TV panel, there's a radio panel, and all of these senior guys who not only plan on these mediums but also represent these mediums actually give the youngsters a crash course in that, which is quite exciting.
I'm very excited about the e-learning part of it, because that's something I'm seeing more and more of as being a really central component. Doc, I think you've had quite a bit of experience on the e-learning
thing. Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. I think, you know, we're in 2020, you know, and there's no doubt that everybody has a phone and everyone has access to some form of online platform. And there's no doubt that, that one has to go that route. It's in your pocket. It's on your time. It's downloadable, etc. As you say, geez, instead of finding a venue, you know, and the parking and the traffic and all the other excuses that go with it, because people are busy. No doubt e-learning is in our lifetime, I think, here for keeps. So that's great. And also just back to your earlier point in terms of the practical side of the workshop, and a big, you know, sort of well done to FNB for coming in. And again, I suppose the shout out is to other corporates, you know, is to say, listen, you know, there are other players out there that are big and have got a voice and have got something good to share, you know. And why don't you? Why don't you put up your hand and share it with the media planners and the creatives and the clients of tomorrow? So I think a well done, and that's a very, you know, I'm very happy to have heard that you said that FNB have gone in on a 3-year partnership.
Yeah, I just want to echo that. I mean, I think it's wonderful that you know, clients of that sort of blue chip quality are joining into the initiative.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
One of the things that has concerned me a lot about the overall kind of progression of learning is that unlike other professions, including the marketers who have their own chartered marketing degree, or doctors, lawyers, accountants, all of these guys have got to get CPD points. You've got a continuous professional development. Is there anything we have in the pipeline which will lead us in that direction? So you do the weekend workshop, you do the course, that's 2020 sorted. You know, how do I maintain standards, or how do I get credit for maintaining standards in 2021 and 2022 and 2023 through a CPD program? Is there anything in the pipeline on CPD?
Unfortunately, not in the kind of detail that we would like, and it hasn't gotten as far down the road as we would have liked. The thinking there is also to kind of encourage the mentor-mentee relationship as well, and kind of awarding practical points around the senior people in the industry that then put up their hand to mentor the juniors, but they have to meet a certain number of criteria in order to earn those points. So you have to have met your mentee for at least two sit-downs a month. You had to have guided them in terms of a piece of work that they're working on. So that's kind of the thinking in order to formalize some sort of a structure. But then to get back that sort of mentorship that we had in the industry 10, 15 years ago when people had a little bit more time. And, you know, I always remember Gordon Patterson, who used to always reiterate that a mentor doesn't choose the mentee, it's the other way around. And I just feel that right now, maybe the access to those senior people in the industry is not as forthcoming as it used to be, because people are busy and budgets are tight and bottom lines are tight. And, you know, the sort of MDs of agencies, the MDs of the media owners aren't always on the ground as much as they used to be. But it's kind of bringing back that sort of close relationship between the youngsters and the new blood that's coming into the industry, but giving them access to the senior guys who have been there and have navigated these murky waters, so to speak, in their careers. So that's where we'd like to see a formalization of some sort of continuous career development and point system coming into play.
Well, I mean, I'd have to endorse that. You know, I mean, I think back in my own formative years, and I've alluded to this before in previous podcasts, and guys like Paul Wilkins and Ian Snelling, who were the gurus in their day, were always available to us as youngsters. Yeah, it cost you a couple of beers and you had to sit and listen, but they were never scared to give of their time, which I think was something we need to look at. Maybe we have to formalize it. It's not enough just to sit and have a beer and do it. But you talked about murky waters. I mean, I think if I look at global media play out, you know, and things like the K2 report, Hewlett-Packard report on ad fraud, one of the murkiest waters is ad fraud, and it is a serious problem for us across the world globally and locally. So how do we build into the training, you know, something along the lines of ethics? I mean, I could get a doctorate in ethics at Harvard. Are we building in modules around ethics and ethical behavior? Because it is a problem, and if we're in denial about that, we're not going to get out of the murky waters into the clear sailing.
Exactly, and I think it's the recognition of the need that we've gotten to at this point. And it starts with addressing the so-called negative behavior. You know, I think a lot of people have felt there's a little bit of digital arrogance going on in the on the media industry as well. So it's quelling all of those kinds of things in the first place, to understand that every medium is equally represented and has its place. And if you give an option of writing a strategy to 10 different strategists, you'll get 10 different strategies. So what we're trying to build is an instinct around media, and ethics is a big part of that. To have an instinctual development of how your media plans and strategies work, to consider that you need to be ethical in your spending of the client's budget, make sure that it's reaching the right audiences, make sure that you aren't padding your return on investment in any way. Those sorts of things can only be built out of having an innate instinct that you can actually build on in the first place. And it's highlighting these things to the youngsters from a very early age to say, this is where you need to be. Your name as a media professional and your integrity is closely linked to the way in which you engage with the industry as a whole.
And I think just always an interesting question for me around ethics is it ethical or unethical behavior that has caused it, or is it somebody who doesn't have the skill? So in other words, you look at those two things. So when something goes wrong, is it a skill-based thing, or is it somebody being devious, trying to take off, get a backhand, a kickback, whatever the case may be? So it'll be interesting in the workshop that you do is to try and, because I always find it quite sad in a way that one has to do a course on ethics. You know, it's that golden rule, you know, do unto others. And I think it's something that you should have learned as a five-year-old. If it feels wrong, probably is wrong. So, but sometimes people don't know. They don't have the skill, you know. And I think that, you know, cheese will come through in the workshop in terms of the skill level, Gordon, and also the continuous development, you know, is getting a learning culture. Even if you don't have access to a mentor, you can go onto your phone today and you can read, you know. Don't be lazy. Be disciplined to learn. Always stay hungry. And I think it's that culture of learning. And then with that, you build up your skills, and hopefully it won't be an ethical issue. I'd rather solve a skills issue than a dishonesty issue. Because the one, you know, you can train somebody. The others, I'm hoping that their foundation at as a kid would have taught them right from wrong.
Mm. Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And skills and the ability to discern a deal which is not entirely in the best interest of clients is, you know, is ultimately part of the solution. But I think, you know, some of the stories I'm hearing, and I'm going to be quite brutally honest about this, from sales executives, include the you know, here are my car keys, here's my car registration, the boot's open, I'll see what's in there, and we'll talk business tomorrow morning. Now, that's not a skills issue. That's a straight-out, brutal, ethical issue. And that is happening. That is, I'm saying it's prevalent, but it is definitely happening, and it's not a one-off. Mm. So how do we need to deal with the issues. We can't have that kind of thing. It's like, you know, I get to see enough of it in Parliament. You know, I don't need to see it in the industry as well.
Absolutely. And again, it comes back to having roots and creating a way in which people can flag these kinds of things, and you need the anonymity of it. You need to have a whistleblower kind of protection in place, but that's the only way. And it's up to us to self-govern our industry. And until we see the need and we put the systems in place to deal with this kind of thing, it will always happen, because it's unfortunately human nature.
Geez, that's a brilliant observation. And you know, I mean, what you're describing really is something that doesn't exist for us now. No. But a media ombudsman to facilitate that kind of thing. That's an outstanding observation. I'm going to bank that. I'm going to come back to that one. But, I mean, ultimately, Doug, coming back to you, I mean, the best decisions I will make will be in the interest of my clients. How will I know? Because the client's campaign works. Mm. So how do we shift people's emphasis away from doing a strat, which sits in a document, you know, buying a schedule, which gives a discount, and move it back into your space? I mean, how do I kind of keep an eye on making sure the thing works?
Gordon, again, I think, you know, just back to my earlier point, it's really a question of sitting and dialoguing those things all the time. Now, you know, I had the discipline of having a weekly meeting, create a status meeting and a media meeting at the same time. You know, it was a Tuesday morning and everyone was there. So everyone had sight of stuff. And I tried, I'm not always saying I was successful, to try to understand the other person's point of view, because the one without the other is a bit useless. You know, you can't buy media if you don't have creative, and you can't have great creative if you're not going to put it somewhere. And the client is, you know, is sort of in the middle of this thing. So for me, it's a question of understanding the objectives, having more dialogue. And you know, it will be interesting is when we say a media workshop, my immediate thing is it's going to be for people in media, media planners, media strategists, media buyers. Those are the kind of guys who'll go to a media workshop as opposed to a creative workshop or a client workshop. Why don't we swap it around? Why don't we have certain clients? Now, if I go back to F&B, you know, are they going to be at the workshop? Are they going to be participating as clients? Are they, is their creative arm going to be there to understand it? Because I think if we get to that point, we can then at source start understanding everyone else's role and hopefully move forward. And it's not just a moment in time workshop. It's a discipline that we need to inculcate across the country, you know, and that's what I fundamentally believe would work better, because that way you understand that your piece of work is part of a journey. It's not a piece in itself, you know. It sits, it's something before, and it's a whole thing of receive well, do well, hand over well. You know, the value chain of work. And it's not just an ad industry or media industry. It's a global phenomenon. So it's a question of how do you inculcate the thinking that no person is an island and that you're part of a bigger whole and you got to work for the greater good. I think that's a long way around of probably answering your question.
But it's, yeah, it's a long way around, but it's a very succinct answer. Chi's going to lob this one back at you, because I think a lot of what Doc's talking about there plays out, or we intended from inception for it to play out in the Amasa rewards. Mm-hmm. But that's when you're rewarding efficacy, creativity and efficacy. But with the ACA now buying into the whole Effie's advertising that works, you know, direction, where does Amasa awards fit with something like the ACA Effie's? Are they in parallel? Are they mutually exclusive? Do they do the same thing?
I think the Amasa Awards has always stood for the work, and I think that we're very proud of that fact. It's really one of the few industry awards that actually reward and look at the return on investment and the measurability of campaigns. And that, as you say, is a testament. And in last year's awards, what we were particularly pleased about is a lot of the media agencies accredited their media owners for the way in which those campaigns came to life. So again, we're seeing that interaction that we've been talking about and the silos being broken down to say that without this media owner, this great idea and this big idea and all of the strategy behind it would not have come to life. And I think that's where the Amasa Award stands out, is being able to reward the work, to use the creative, to use the implementation and execution and the strategy and bring it all together.
That for me is really a crucial thing. And in fact, I'm shocked at myself, because we should have brought the media owners into the discussion much, much earlier on. But Cheese, thanks for coming in this morning. It's been really, really interesting. And just again to remind everybody, the Vega course, which starts in March, they can fill in the applications online on the Vega
website.
Yeah. And then the Amasa workshop, which will take place in April, we can access that via the Amasa
website. That's right. That's okay. Amasa, AMASA. .org.za. And thank you both for your time and for allowing us to have a chat about Amasa, which is very close to our hearts, certainly. And as a volunteer organization, if there's any way that other people would like to get involved, please drop us a mail. We're also on Facebook as Amasa Joburg, and we'd love for everyone who wants to be involved.
Thanks, Cheese. That's great. And again, you know, to the listeners out there, please do get involved. You know, Gordon and I always talk about it every week. We say it's about creating the dialogue, about trying to effect change in our own little way. So please get involved, you know, irrespective of whether you're going to talk media or marketing or client or spend, or doesn't really matter. Ask the question. We've always said marketing and media and everything in between. So our challenge and invite to you out there is please do get involved. Cheese, again, from my side, thanks. You know, I know we're all busy, but we do really appreciate it. And good luck for your workshops.
Great, Cheese, thanks for coming in. And again, just to echo what the doc's saying, please subscribe to the podcast, please participate, send us topics for discussion, send us, you know, anybody that you feel can contribute to the narrative. Of the primary objective of the Doc and Guru podcast is to have the narrative played out in public, not behind closed doors, which was a concern for us, you know, as we discussed the end of last year. So closing words to our guest, Cheese.
Thanks very much. I just wanted to give a really heartfelt shout out to the guys that make up the Amasa committee and the board. These are senior professionals in the industry that tirelessly give off their time, sacrifice time from their families and their friends to put these things together and to help our industry in whatever way we can. So to the Amasa committee in particular, thank you guys from myself. We really appreciate the work you do.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show, and take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.